This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to New Beginnings. Glad you're with us as we explore ways to help you to be your best self. You can find us every week at this same time on your favorite radio station. And joining us right now as we go into our first topic for the this show is Mr. Joel McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders. Online at rippleconnects.com and also telephone at 763-438-1621. Good morning, Joel McKenzie.
Good morning, Freddie Bell. How are you?
Unbelievable. Glad to be with you this weekend as we explore something to look forward to. That's not just something off the top of my head, but that's what we're talking about this morning. You are saying that as a job seeker, are you suggesting that we should always be looking forward to something?
I believe so. A job seeker, if you're in the midst of a career making a change, or say you're in transition and you're looking for that next opportunity, I think just to keep that balance and that positivity, looking forward to something is always going to help keep that longer term perspective, that positivity, and that motivation to move forward. And I know it sounds very simplistic, but often in our lives, we look forward to something. The rest of those days leading up to that go better than if we didn't have something to look forward to. Do you find that be the case in your own career?
I know that it keeps me, when I've got something on the calendar or if there's an event coming up, it seems that all of my mental energy is directed toward the what's next. And that seems to color not only that day, but all the several days leading up to it. Sometimes it's all consuming, but other times it just creates so much excitement, Joel McKenzie.
Yes, and that excitement can result in higher energy, better positivity, just that the overall forward thinking mindset is so important for us at any point in our careers. If we're looking for that next opportunity, or we're truly in transition looking for that next opportunity, something to look forward to is why I bring this forward, because I've been there. And when I'm looking forward to something, meeting someone, or it's just some downtime or an event or some professional growth, I'm energized. And everything that leads up to that is better for it because I'm in that mindset. So today, obviously, I want to share that with the New Beginnings listeners. And just this can be a strategy that people can utilize to make sure that they're at their best.
Everyone, Joel McKenzie with us this weekend on New Beginnings. We're talking about a career seeker always looking forward to something. And you mentioned in our warm-up, you said that everyday work life can often be predictable. What was the thought behind that, Joe?
Every day can, if you let it, become predictable without having something to look forward to, or just there's nothing going to change today, so therefore I'm falling into this very comfortable, mundane pattern, can over time sap our energy, sap our positivity, and we're not at our best. And we could be in a job that we're comfortable with, but because of that predictability and that mundane day-to-day, we may not even have that forward-thinking energy to recognize an opportunity that may exist for us. It may be in that advertiser, unadvertised job market. It may be something that we have an opportunity to grow, that we, just because we fall into that everyday, day-to-day activities, we'll miss it. And so that forward-thinking mindset, looking forward to something, should exist with us, even if we don't have something to look forward to yet. That should be a calling to us to say, get something ready for us to look forward to. Do you agree with that, Freddie? We have to make things happen, right, when it comes to this?
There are some things, or some people who let things happen. There are some people who make things happen. And there are other people who are just inside the happening. And so
Yes. This
seems to fit so well with that. If you've got to be that change maker in order to make a positive change in your life, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And it pays dividends within ourselves and everybody that we come in contact with. I know that I am in a stressful position leading a nonprofit here in the middle of a pandemic. But Freddie, when I'm looking forward to something, I'm looking to make change, I'm creating activity, and everybody that I come in contact with on a day-to-day basis knows that. And that's a positive ripple outward. It's like, wow, Joe, you're very optimistic, you're very energetic, you're very helpful. Well, many of that is because I am a forward-thinking person who's trying to create something to look forward to in my own world. That think of the positive effect that it has on everybody that I come in contact with. And I'm sure that's the case with many people that fall into that, hey, I'm going to look forward to something. I'm going to create opportunities for myself. I'm going to look forward to something. Think of the positivity that ripples out with the people that we come in contact with. And I think that's very powerful in the middle of a pandemic and just normal times where it's just a good position to be in your career. Do you agree with that statement of being a good place to be in your career?
Absolutely. And I was also curious, Joe McKenzie, about the different types of things that we can look forward to. And my first thought was conferences and seminars. But we don't have a lot of those, but some of these are virtual, and that certainly can be something worth looking forward to.
Yeah, conference seminars get us out of our workplace, gets us around people that we can get new ideas from or share problems that we need to solve. I think conferences, seminars, when we go back to normal, will obviously be the ability to go there. But also today, it's still a source of energy for many people when they can collaborate. I think many people like to collaborate, and this is one of those opportunities. And you know, that professional enrichment, when you're in growth mode, growth mindset, that's also something to look forward to, because now you're setting the stage for other opportunities that may spawn off some of these conferences or seminars.
You've also talked about spending time with your bench of advocates on previous shows. Would this be something worth looking forward to that we can put on our calendar and to point toward?
Absolutely. Freddie, when I get a chance to collaborate with you, and I consider you a mainstay on my bench of career advocates, I'm excited. And it's not the biggest bench in the world, but that's okay, because those three or four people are key to my career. I can't wait to sit down with them, to collaborate with them, to be in a position to help them. So I always look forward to that opportunity to meet with you or the next person, if it's virtual or on the phone. I think that should never be overlooked as something to look forward to. Do you agree with that, Freddie? Do you find the same with the people on your bench of career advocates that you come in contact with?
Absolutely. It's so refreshing when you can talk to someone who sometimes in your line of work, others outside of your line of work, because they bring that fresh perspective. In addition to that, it does give you something to look forward to. I'm thinking in a week, I'm going to be talking with a Joe McKenzie, and I can't wait to see what perspectives Joe McKenzie is bringing to the table, what's going on in his world, and maybe there's something from which I can learn.
Absolutely, and that's how I see it too. So really the takeaway here could be just having that time with some of those career advocates that you've developed and you've gotten to work with in the past can be something to look forward to when there isn't a conference or a professional growth opportunity. Looking forward to something can look different for every person. But today, our mission is to at least uncover some things that that could be integrated into your career, your job search, just looking forward to something to keep that forward-thinking positivity going in your everyday life.
So what would be some key takeaways that you'd like for us to remember as we talk about looking forward to something as we are advancing our career, whether we're inside of a career or not?
Well, be very intentional about making things happen. Things will occur where we'll be notified and told of it, but be intentional about making things happen. Reach out to that person, set that stage. Be curious about that opportunity at that conference or that additional class that you might be able to take, or even just, we haven't talked about it, but scheduling some downtime, some reflection. Mm-hmm. A getaway, a day, getting out in nature to reassess and recalibrate your career. But I think the takeaway, Freddie, is be very intentional about making things happen to be able to look forward to something on a daily basis. Within your daily activities, looking forward to something in the future. That's what I meant.
That makes a whole lot of sense. And Joe, we have to leave it right there. And I know Ripple Connect, you've been around for quite some time, and you also do some very fine work there.
Yes, we do, Freddie Bell. We turn candidates into contenders.
And this is Appointed Listening, because it is New Beginnings.
RippleConnects.com, connecting you to your better future. Hi, I'm Joe McKenzie, founder of Ripple Connects and trainer of Ripple Effect Networking. Establishing and maintaining a strong professional network is critical to you and your organization's success. My techniques will help you stand out so you can create new sales opportunities, develop and sustain meaningful connections, grow your franchise or small business. If you want to schedule Joe McKenzie to speak to your organization, email me, joe.mckenzie@rippleconnects.com. Your network plus my techniques equals more success for you.
The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, Minnesota Family Investment Program, MFIP, and WIC Nutrition, along with other available programs, can help you buy food while budgets are tight. SNAP, MFIP, and WIC benefits can help families access additional support as well, including health screenings, emergency assistance, nutrition education, and employment training. Apply online at applymn.dhs.mn.gov. This message is powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
And now it's time for this week's Point of Focus.
I have a great time with my life, and I want to share it.
Nowadays, a lot of people think of positivity and optimism as something unrealistic, something almost delusional.
It teaches the cultivation of peace of mind as a power center out of which comes driving energy.
This is life and enterprise management.
I love living. I think that's infectious. It's something that you can't fake.
I happen to be a possibility thinker, because I know that I can reach my goals and overcome any challenge. That's our point of focus, confidence. I'm not discouraged by what seems to be lack or limitation in my life. At one time in history, no one believed that a person could run faster than a 4-minute mile. It was implausible to imagine that a man would ever walk on the moon, let alone a black man become president of the United States. In the past, I've overcome obstacles even when I couldn't see a clear path to my success. I've met my goals and objectives because I knew in my heart that I could, and I know that some of you share that same thought. When you hold on to this kind of confidence, hope replaces doubt, and your mind sees a new dawn. If I'm ever in doubt, I simply re-energize my confidence because I know that everything works out well. If you'd like to learn more, all you have to do is visit me at www.freddiebell.com or call 888-639-9738. Or you can reach me by email. It's freddie@freddiebell.com. freddie@freddiebell.com.
Introducing the New Beginnings Podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. And joining us is a regular to our program, Elizabeth Ebot. She is the Vaccine Outreach Director for Equity and Engagement for the Minnesota Department of Health. She's here to talk about vaccines, of course. And once again, welcome to our show. Glad to have you.
Thanks, Freddie. I'm glad to be on today.
Let's talk about what we've just heard in recent days, that a top Food and Drug Administration official is saying that updated data might make a strong case in support of everyone 18 and older being eligible for a coronavirus vaccine booster. What is the Department of Health's position on that?
Sure. So as you mentioned, there's been some big news on boosters lately. And really, when it comes to eligibility, all of that and our direction at the state is coming from federal direction and federal guidance. And so as of today, you know, 2 weeks ago, Governor Walz announced that following that federal approval and guidance, we would begin administering booster shots, Pfizer booster shots, to eligible people at least 6 months after they completed that initial two-dose series. So today, eligible people mean that you're over 65 or you're living in a long-term care setting, you're 18 and over and you have underlying medical conditions, or you're 18 and over and you have some increased risk to exposure or transmission because of where you work, for example, or, you know, somewhere that you frequent often in that way. So as far as any expansions past that, I think that it was to be expected that there would be further discussions on that. But as of today, you know, this is who we're offering boosters to, just because that's where the guidance sits.
So to be clear, it is eligible for, it's open for those who are 18 and older. What about that 15 to 18 year old bracket?
That's right. So still for that 15 to 18 year old bracket, we have not gotten guidance yet on booster eligibility. And so we're still offering for people 12 and older, we're still offering the first and second dose of the Pfizer vaccine series. But as of right now, booster eligibility still sits for people who are 18 and over, like I said, with underlying medical conditions or people who have increased risk to exposure.
Thank you so much. Let's explore that just a little bit. We do know that Pfizer and Moderna have been first to the table for most everything, Johnson & Johnson lagging behind just a little bit, but also doing their due diligence and studies. Can people mix and match their boosters? If I've had, for example, a Johnson & Johnson, can I get a Moderna or can I get a Pfizer, even though Johnson & Johnson has been approved for emergency use, but has not yet been released for the booster inoculation?
That's a good question, and it's a really important clarification. So I want to first just underscore that eligibility right now for boosters only applies to people who originally received that two-dose Pfizer vaccine series. And of course, that leaves a lot of people who got Johnson & Johnson, who got Moderna, rightfully questioning, well, what's going to happen to me? Well, in that vein, next week, the FDA's advisory committee will be meeting to discuss just that. So both companies, Johnson & Johnson and Moderna, they've submitted their data on boosters to the FDA. And so now it's really just up to that advisory committee to make a recommendation on how to proceed with boosters for J&J and for Moderna. At that same meeting, to the second part of your question about the mixing and matching, they're also going to be discussing that. So the potential of getting a booster shot that differs from the original vaccine that you received. So yes, someone who originally got Johnson & Johnson, you know, is it possible then that they could get a Pfizer booster shot, vice versa, or with Moderna, I mean. And so we're going to hear more about that shortly. But as of now, no, the recommendation is not that if you received, or is that if you received Johnson & Johnson or Moderna, you know, we still have to wait for that additional guidance on what you should do. I know it requires a lot of patience, and so that's not lost on us.
We're getting a lot of guidance from nationally. We get guidance locally. Let's assume that Johnson & Johnson gets approved with their emergency application. Should we wait before to hear from the state of Minnesota before we contact our physicians to get that booster shot?
Sure. I mean, I think we've been doing a great job of really aligning our statewide announcements and releases coming from the governor's office really in tandem with that federal guidance. And so I think we can expect that to continue. So when that comes down from the federal government, when that comes down from the CDC and the FDA, I think you can expect, you know, almost immediately to get that same information from the state. And if you have any questions about that, then our MDH hotline is here, and that's 833-431-2053. So if you're seeing something in the news and, you know, you want to know what's happening at the state level too, feel free to call that number. We're here to help.
Everyone is talking about Merck's new COVID pill and the possibility of being able to take that in lieu of a vaccination. What's the state's position on that? Is that good advice to opt for the pill and not the vaccine?
So, yes, it's the new kid on the block. And so with this news coming from Merck, I just, you know, it's an interesting development. So I just want to talk about what it does and what it doesn't mean. So last week, for context, Merck, a U.S. drug maker, announced that it created this experimental antiviral pill that appears to show that it's effective at reducing the risk of hospitalization or death by half for adults with moderate or mild cases of COVID-19. Now, I want to keep in mind that the participants in that trial were all unvaccinated. So what the pill regime did was it limits the virus's ability to replicate in your body and spread to your body. It's given orally 2 times a day for 5 days. And if ultimately it's approved by the FDA, this would be the first pill of its kind to help treat COVID-19. Now, what this does not mean, and underscore, does not mean is that we're past the need to vaccinate, because we know that vaccination remains the best form of protection against the virus. So the pill, again, would help us, with someone infected, stop the progression of the virus in them, but it doesn't prevent you from getting sick with COVID-19. And so we still know, and we're still encouraging people, please, to get vaccinated. This is not a replacement for the vaccine, but it's certainly an important development when it comes to the treatment of COVID-19.
Elizabeth, as a final thought, can you talk to our parents and even to students who are listening who are under the age to get even the first vaccine? Can you give us some hope as to what's coming around the corner or what's coming down the bend in order to take care of the youngest of us?
Of course. This is on my mind, too. I'm thinking about my little nieces and nephews. And so What was in very welcome news recently was that Pfizer announced results from their vaccine trial in kids ages 5 to 11. And what they found was that the Pfizer vaccine elicited what they called a robust antibody response in these children. The trial included over 2,200 participants. It included a 2-dose regimen of the vaccine given 21 days apart. It was a third of the amount given to people 12 and older for this age group, because they found that the smaller dose was safer and more tolerable, but still prompted this very necessary immune response they were looking for. So basically what happens next is that Pfizer has submitted their emergency use authorization request to the FDA. Now, the FDA advisory panel, that one I mentioned earlier, they're going to meet again on October 26th, so later this month, to discuss this application and review it. So really, in just a couple more weeks, we should have a more clear picture on when exactly these young ones will finally have access to the vaccine. But we're really making quick steps here, and it's promising.
Elizabeth Ewald, I can't thank you enough for being with us and bringing clarity to this whole issue of boosters and vaccines for our communities. Thanks for being with us this morning. Elizabeth Ewald also says that there are incentives at the Vikings game tomorrow for individuals to get shots and booster shots at the Vikings game, and some wonderful prizes for the children. New Beginnings continues right now.
Minnesota is home to a robust network of more than 300 food shelves that may be able to offer additional food support to families and individuals who are suffering from hunger. Hunger Solutions can locate a food shelf near you. Call the Minnesota Food Helpline at 1-888-711-1151, 888-711-1151, or use the interactive map at hungersolutions.org. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think Real Possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/Twin Cities. Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook, and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
Minneapolis Public Housing is right now on New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi again, everyone, and welcome to New Beginnings. And it's our pleasure to bring you some great information from our communities. And right now, we turn to the property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, the Kitty Harris. She is with us this morning. And Kitty, it's great to be with you. How can we reach out to you for more information following our talk this morning?
Good morning, Freddie. Always a pleasure to be here. You can reach me at 612-344-2221.
All right. And we, with the, as the name says, Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, this week we're focusing on a health fair or some health initiative that's happening at the Cora McCorvey.
Yes, absolutely. So as our listeners know, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and so you will see a lot of different events that are happening around the Twin Cities area. And so we are happy at the center to be able to host a mini health fair. It's going to be on this upcoming Thursday, October the 14th. It's going to be from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. and we are going to have various vendors throughout the community providing information about health and wellness, as well as doing different screenings. This is something that we have done in the past on a larger scale. So that's why we're calling it a mini health fair, because this is the first one that we're having at the center since COVID-19 has occurred.
So I'm sure you're taking some small steps or precautionary steps as you open this mini health fair. So what can your visitors look forward to seeing and experiencing?
So when visitors come to the center, they will definitely, we will have the traditional giveaways at the tables as they go around to the vendors, of course. We will do screenings for breast cancer since it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We will have COVID-19 vaccines available, as well as flu shots available. And so for our safety protocols, we will not have as many vendors on site, but we will have them spread out to ensure that their people are able to get that information and come together, but in a safe manner.
Everyone, Kitty Harris with us this morning, the property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, talking about her mini health fair. And I have to admit, when you first said mini health fair, I thought you were talking about M-A-N-Y, many health fairs that are coming up. but the scope of it is smaller.
Yes, no, M-I-N-I.
So the scope is smaller in that this is not as big as you've had prior to the pandemic.
Yeah, so prior to the pandemic, we would have anywhere between 25 and 35 vendors on site, of course, because we have such a large multi-purpose room and we were able to get a lot of people in there. And so we scaled back again, like I said, the number of vendors that we have, but we still wanted to make sure that we had those vital screening services available, you know, just to make sure that people had that access. And then for the ones where we have the resource tables, we're being still able to give that information to the community to kind of allow them opportunities to go and follow up and do the things that they need to do, as well as always, learning about the different partner services that we have on site and the different things that they provide.
My goodness, everyone, Kitty with us this morning. So when you talk, as we talk about the mini health fair, it's interesting. Do you have visions of the center continuing to open, or what's the guidance that you're getting right now in terms of broader scale operations at the health center itself?
So what we're going to continue to do is we're tracking the numbers like everyone else is, and we will continue to try to provide these needed community services on a smaller scale until we're able to do things in the manner in which we did. And if there is never a sense of returning to the normalcy, we would at least always still be able to have these things. And maybe we would have them on a more frequent rate than we have had before if we continue to see that we need to, that the numbers, you know, call for it to remain on a smaller scale. The biggest thing we want to make sure is that we are providing people the information so that they know where to go to get access to the resources. Our great partner, North Point Health and Wellness, has multiple locations for people to be able to get seen and get the various screenings that they need throughout the year. And we're happy that one of our newest partners, the Lau Assistance Center, has stepped in and started to make sure that we have access to ongoing things on a monthly basis not only for our Lao community, but for the greater North Minneapolis as well.
All right. So for those who are looking to be with you on the 14th, that's next week, is there pre-registration required?
There's no registration required. They can just stop by. Again, we're at 1015 4th Avenue North, and it's going to be this Thursday, October the 14th, starting at about 9:30 is when vendors will get set up, and people can come in and get information, and we can connect them to Minnesota Department of Health, North Point Health and Wellness, Oldham Health and Wellness, some of our breast cancer screening partners that are here from the community, and get them connected to the resources that they need.
All right. That's Kitty Harris, a property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, talking about her big mini health fair on October 14th next week. Thanks for being with us, Kitty.
Thank you, Freddie. You have a great day.
You would do anything to protect the ones you love. Help make sure your child is protected from dangerous diseases by getting them vaccinated. Talk to your doctor or clinic today about the vaccines your child needs and the safety measures they have in place to protect your family during COVID-19. Go to health.mn.us/immunize for more. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
Hi again, everyone, and joining us right now, I'm so excited because it's the new state director for AARP Minnesota, no stranger to the area. Say hello to Kathy McClear. Good morning and welcome. Congratulations.
Good morning and thank you. I'm so, so grateful for the opportunity to be joining AARP Minnesota and working on behalf of the 50-plus in Minnesota.
Did it take a lot of arm twisting, Kathy McClear, to say yes to this running this wonderful organization in the state of Minnesota?
No, I did not have to think twice about this opportunity. I am no stranger to the area. I was born and raised in South Dakota, so I'm just across the border. But I'm a graduate of the University of Minnesota Twin Cities. I worked at WCCO-TV for a number of years. And then in my 16 years with AARP, I've had lots of opportunities to work with the AARP Minnesota staff and volunteers. And it's a fantastic team that's really doing fantastic work on behalf of those 50 and older in the state. So I'm really thrilled to be, I kind of call it coming home to some degree, because I've spent a lot of time in the area and I'm just thrilled to be coming back in this capacity.
Why does AARP hold such a special place for you?
You know, because of the work that they do, you know, we are all about empowering people to live how they want as they age and make sure that they have ample opportunities to have access to good health care, to have financial security as they age, and ample opportunities to give back. And I think one of those really fantastic programs that AARP Minnesota does in conjunction with Pollen Minnesota is the 50 Over 50 program, which honors individuals who have made significant differences in their communities, you know, whether it's business, in the nonprofit sector, disruption, just shaking things up and making a difference, and with the arts. And we've been doing this 50 Over 50 program for about, since 2016, and we've honored more than 250 individuals over the course of that time. And it's just been so impressive to see the breadth and the depth of the work that all of these fantastic honorees have done to improve the lives of their neighbors in Minnesota.
Everyone, we're talking with the new state director for AARP Minnesota, Kathy McClear, and you mentioned Pollen and AARP Minnesota on October 19th. And the 50 over 50. So individuals get a chance to hear great stories on October 19th. Is that right?
Absolutely. Typically, this effort has been in person, and we have a great program that we put on and invite people to come join us. And, you know, certainly with the pandemic, things are just a little bit different and need to be for everyone's safety and well-being. So this year, we're having a virtual opportunity and really inviting anyone to join us on the 19th at 11:30 a.m. And what folks will find when they join us is they will have an opportunity to hear some of those inspiring stories from our 50 over 50 honorees who have really mastered that art of aging well throughout their volunteer efforts. Folks who join will be able to connect with people across the state who share that same passion for community. And I know for sure, having spent time in Minnesota, that Minnesota nice isn't just a saying. It really is a way of life, because about 41% of us have volunteered in Minnesota at some point in time in over the last few years. And it makes us feel good. It benefits our communities. And this 50 over 50 program on the 19th of October is really a way to just highlight that good work of those 50 and older volunteers that we have all around us making a huge difference.
What can you say to people who are considering volunteering, but they've never done it, or maybe just a handful of times? What's the benefit of volunteering, not only for the organization, but for the individual?
Yeah, I mean, volunteering just does so much for us. It keeps us connected with our communities. It gives us a sense of well-being. It lifts our spirits. It makes us feel part of the community. And it impacts people on both sides. And I think even during these really challenging times when people have, maybe been stuck at home a little bit, AARP has done a really nice job of finding ways to give back and to contribute to our communities, even in small ways that doesn't necessarily mean having to go out and show up at some place in person. Maybe you're making sandwiches that you can, have someone else deliver on your behalf to some folks who are in need, or, making cards for veterans, or, making pet toys. I know we've had a couple of virtual programs on making pet toys to donate to local shelters. It just gives us such a feeling of well-being, and it just makes you feel good. To know that you're giving back and making a difference in someone else's life.
Do you have a final thought for our Twin Cities audience on the 50 over 50 program and what Minnesotans can expect from your leadership over the next several decades, I hope?
Well, sure. I do hope to be there for a very long time. And I really look forward to leading this team who does such fantastic work around advocacy for those 50 and older. We do a lot with fighting fraud and helping protect consumers. We work on healthcare issues. We work on, education issues, helping people prepare for retirement and whatever their what's next is. If they choose to do something else aside from their first career. And I'm really looking forward to working with this team as we find those opportunities to make life better, and around livable communities as well, making sure that the communities that we all live in are safe places to live and enjoy the time, in our golden years. And as far as the 50 over 50 program, we are just people 50 and older are making such a huge difference. From neighborhood Crime Stoppers, we have spiritual leaders, we have a Native healer who's been honored and recognized. We know that the last couple of years have been tough for everyone, and this is just such a positive way to kind of get back into the swing of things and feel good about what our neighbors have been doing.
Well, I won't say welcome to Minnesota, but welcome back, Kathy McLear, the new state director for AARP Minnesota. Thank you so much for being with us. And we just really enjoy your enthusiasm and your love for the state and for the organization.
Well, thank you so much, Freddie. It's really a pleasure to be back and really a pleasure to be talking with you.
And New Beginnings continues right now.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think real possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. You see, AARP is hosting free Movies for Grown-Ups screenings at theaters across the metro. They're helping protect families from identity theft and scams with the AARP Fraud Watch Network. And AARP volunteers are helping people in need complete their tax returns free of charge. So whether you're a caregiver, someone who's trying to save for retirement, or if you just want to save money and connect with friends and neighbors for fun at local events, then AARP has resources for you. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/Twin Cities.
As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
In other words, we all live our lives filled with distinctions of how we hold our identity separate or in distinction to others. But Dr. Katie reminds us, in truth, there is no difference among us. That is a powerful idea. From this higher perspective, distinctions or divisions offer no real difference in truth. In that perspective of the high watch. Well, I want to give you several different examples of being willing or not. Remember, you always have a choice. God has given you the choice to make. Well, here's one. A few years ago, a good friend in Unity, actually a Unity leader, told me in conversation, you know, the Daily Word, I just don't like how they write it anymore. I don't even like how they punctuate the sentences. It's just not the same. So I canceled my subscription. And I thought to myself, well, okay. But the style of Daily Word has, of course, evolved and changed over the many decades since it began in 1924. But if we're going to make an issue of exactly how it's worded, or I'm exaggerating, how the sentences are punctuated, and say, I won't participate in the Daily Word process because I don't like how it's written. Think about it. The whole purpose of the Daily Word was to bring people together in a collective thought, a word, and to be willing to hold that in a daily time of silence, reflection, meditation. And to say, I won't participate because I only liked how it was written in the 1940s, defeats the whole purpose, the whole intention of the Daily Word. Now, Silent Unity also provides us with the monthly prayer services that they write and make available worldwide. And we hold that prayer service here, not only in this service, but Monday through Thursday at 11 o'clock. And we do it exactly as Silent Unity has prepared it for us. And I and our Unity prayer chaplains that help with that service, they take the devotion seriously. And they don't say, well, you know, I don't like what Silent Unity put out this month. Or I don't like how they expressed that, so I'm not going to do it. No, there is a higher calling, a higher purpose. It's being willing to come together in an intention, even though the actual wording, and in jest, the punctuation, is not exactly how we would choose to do it. What is the higher purpose, the higher intention that we come together in, rather than the physical words? Here's another example, quite different. You may be aware of it, or you may not. It's relatively new. But our board of directors at Unity South have been looking at cost-cutting measures and also ways to increase our abundance, such as the Valentine baskets that have been so successful, but also look at where we can fine-tune our expenditures so that we can come into line with the income that we have been experiencing in 2020 and now into this year. So there is an intention to do good for the church overall by our board of directors' choices in certain cost-cutting measures. Now, is each decision exactly what I want and what every member of the board wants? No, we have different ideas about how things are done. But we're learning we can come together in that higher intention. I am willing to support these measures of our expenditures at Unity South. I can support that even though individual items may not be my personal choice. Do you hear me? We can work together for a higher purpose, even if the little details are not what each one of us would choose if we were in charge of the entire world. Another example of willingness. I was talking to my good friend Sandra Campbell at Unity Temple in Kansas City, and she actually asked for my help. She's always calling me her mentor, and I just laugh at that. I said, "You're my mentor. You're teaching me." And so we have a little discussion about who's teaching who, who's helping who. But Sandra developed at Unity Temple, and now many churches around the country have taken it up, a project called Courageous Conversations. She presented it here when she visited our church. And she said, it's an attempt through education for people to come together and look at the experiences of our society in terms of racism, in terms of divisions and distinctions that we're holding. And through the conversation, we open up our hearts and our minds. But Sandra said, I just heard from a Unity Center that has quite a large group in a certain part of our country, and they're being challenged by members within the group that are still expressing what seem to be racist ideas. Education alone will not do it. Sandra said she remembered an old expression that sort of speaks to this. A person convinced against their will is of the same opinion still. People cannot be forced to change through a group discussion, through teamwork. They have to be willing to let go the distinctions that they've applied. Well, I learned from another case. This happened around the time of the events in Charlottesville. And I heard this individual lecture 2 years ago at the Chautauqua Institution in New York State. Risa Golubov is the first woman ever to be dean of the great school of law at the University of Virginia, Charlottesville.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. For Joe McKenzie, this is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. We'll see you next week and online. Goodbye, everybody.